Welcome to the Astra Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. Today, I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Nick Porter. Nick, hello.
Hey, John. Happy birthday.
Oh, it is my birthday. It's Friday, July 23rd. I am in my late mid-50s. I'm not always 100% sure of my birthday. My daughter just wished me a happy birthday, too. So this is a family affair day, I guess.
Yeah, get her on.
So in a nutshell, I would say the economy continues to recover. Most of the indicators are pointing to pretty good growth that might have mitigated a little bit. I don't know, from like an 8 out of 10 growth to a 7 out of 10 growth in the last couple of weeks. It's hard to say. But basically, the story for the last several weeks has been one of continuity, of continued growth, but not the boom that I was looking for this time of this year. What do you think of that assessment, Nick?
I agree. I also agree with the notion that it's sort of hard to assess right now what the pace of growth is. But I think in aggregate, it's likely that growth has slowed down. We've probably seen the peak days behind us. That's not to say that we won't have quarters or years more of growth, but I think we've seen that pace slow a little bit. And then also the question that's on everyone's mind is the spread of the Delta variant and how that might or may not impact the economy writ large.
That's true. So let's start with the labor market. And they're the big news in the last couple of weeks. We haven't talked about jobless claims in a couple of weeks because they've been quiet. Jobless claims have tended to be going down on average. That is, fewer people filing for unemployment insurance. We see fewer people continuing to be on state unemployment insurance than there were a month ago or 2 months ago. That's declining at a fairly stately rate. It's not a precipitous drop like it was last summer when it fell in half in 6 months. Now it's moving much more slowly. Interestingly, we do not see a big drop off in claims in the states that have cut unemployment benefits. So there's a lot of red states who have cut off the emergency unemployment benefits on a lot of dimensions, either the extra $300 a month, extra $300 a week, or the ability to be in the system for longer than typical. And we are not seeing an effect yet of people being driven back to work by the lash of hunger and trying to clothe their children.
Yeah, I think that's consistent with the narrative that we've heard from other sources like surveys that the unemployment benefits or extended unemployment benefits aren't what's really keeping people off the sideline. It's more concerns about childcare, concerns about safety and well-being that is having that impact.
Yeah, and I guess one thing, I've always really loved unemployment claims because they're much faster than almost any other data that we have. They are not subject to really huge revisions. They are revised, of course, but the revisions are pretty modest, all things considered. And it just gets right at the heart of the economy, right? Like how many people are working. But, you know, I'm starting to wonder if for the next months or years, whether it's going to be as valuable a indicator as it has been in the past. I think there's a lot of problems with the state UI systems that have been exposed. And also, I think there's, surprisingly to me, there's some evidence that people are just more aware of the unemployment system than they were 2 years ago, right? So just like people are just more aware that they have access to it, that it exists, how to make a claim. And so it might not mean the same thing that it did a few years ago.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point and not one that I've heard before, is that there's been this structural shift in people being aware that these resources are available to them. And part of that being that the COVID bills and some of the relief that passed were quite popularized and maybe just entered the general subconscious a little bit.
Yeah, which would be good, right? Like people having more support when they are out of work is so unambiguously good, though it makes our job slightly more difficult trying to read the tea leaves. Another piece of news that came out this week, which is consistent with the story that I just told about growth being strong but moderating, would be a couple pieces of consumer sentiment data. Both the University of Michigan sentiment data was well off of its lows from 2020, but also well off of its peak from 2021. And you can say the same thing about the Langer Weekly Consumer Comfort Index, which is, as its name suggests, weekly. Well off its lows, but also well off its highs. So I think consumers are feeling in the aggregate a little bit less bullish than they were a few months ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the plural of anecdote isn't data, but part of that probably has to do with inflation. I have friends who are not particularly attuned to economic fundamentals talking about prices for this and that these days. And I think that is a sign that people are becoming aware that some of these things, particularly like travel, have become quite a bit more expensive in the past quarter.
Yeah. And I was talking to someone who was thinking about buying a used car and trying to dissuade them, trying to get them to wait as long as possible because of prices and stuff like that. So I guess the chip situation has moderated, right? I think that's what we're hearing in the quarterly reports from the car companies. Another piece of news is and this is a little bit less solid. So in the world of purchasing managers indices, where again, they ask businesses, how's business compared to last month? We already have a preliminary number for July, and that number is sharply off where it was a few weeks ago. It is at a very strong number, 60. So 60% of businesses say things are doing better than they were a few months ago, which is a lot. That number typically is around 55. It's as low as 50. 60 is a high number for it, but it was 70 a few months ago. So maybe a new reality setting in.
Yeah, it's not at odds with this story of the economy still doing quite well, but the sugar high of the reopening starting to roll off a little bit, and perhaps despite the labor market lagging a bit, entering a more normal economic state.
Yep. Before we roll out of here, what went on with the ECB last week?
So the ECB finished up their policy review, and in that review, they decided that they're going to shift from an inflation target of 2%. And before this meeting, it was just below 2%. And they've also sort of allowed for this idea of temporary overshoots. This is a bit differentiated from the Federal Reserve, which has said that they'll allow overshoots to average inflation to 2%. And the ECB is a little bit different in saying that inflation above the target is not being explicitly sought out to have that average, but rather that they're going to tolerate a little bit more. So it's interesting. It's not quite the Fed's level of accommodation, but it is a little bit more in that direction with, I guess you could say, European characteristics.
Well, German and Dutch characteristics. The Bundesbank is famously inflation averse. Now they're officially only one voice among many, but they punch above their weight in terms of, I think, getting to tell the ECB what to do. And the reality has been that inflation has been well below 2%, right? It's been probably averaged 1% in the EU the last 10 or 15 years.
Right. And I think in aggregate, I don't really see this as a more accommodative policy stance. It doesn't really change the policy ramifications. It's just simply saying that if inflation creeps up above 2%, that they're a little bit more willing to tolerate it. But it doesn't really have an impact on where things stand today, unlike the Fed, which is really actively pursuing above 2% inflation measure to average it out to meet their target.
All right. Well, so that's actually a little disappointing to me. I had been hoping that they've been beaten into a state of reasonableness. Because I mean, Europe has been growing subpar, lower than it should, I think, for 10 or 15 since the ECB has been in charge, honestly. And it sounds like they're signing up for another 5 or 10 years of that.
I think if all the talking heads get together, they probably agree that despite this strategy review, there isn't much more that the ECB could really do to battle some of these structural issues that Europe is facing vis-a-vis inflation. And a lot of that is really up to the fiscal side and some demographic issues as well.
Yeah, the fiscal side is going to change, right? They've all signed a treaty saying they're not going to run deficit, and no one wants to change that. So that's life.
All right.
We will leave it there. When the ECB wants to call us for advice, they've got our number. This has been another episode of the Astra Economic Week in Review. If you would want more information about Astra's view on the economy, you can check our website, astraim.com. That's astrainvestmentmanagement.com. You can download our app, the Astra Research app, from your favorite app store, or you can contact your Astra representative. Have a good day, Nick.
Thanks, John. Enjoy the birthday celebrations.
To learn more about Astra Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.astraim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.